Oh, yeah, there's a big one there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thanks everybody for coming. The very first thing on the agenda is public comment. If you want to talk about something that's on the agenda and you can't stay for the whole meeting, this is your chance to speak up. But if not, you know, please stay and talk about it when it comes up on the agenda. Hearing nothing, we will continue with approval of minutes for today's meeting.
Or from March 31st. The meeting minutes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you. Approval of minutes from the last meeting.
Did you make changes?
No.
Okay.
No, we didn't receive any changes from
anybody. I make a motion to approve the March 31st, 2021 minutes.
Further discussion? No further discussion. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Great. Unanimous. Approval of today's agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda. Looks like a fun time, so.
Yeah. Hold on one sec. I had NHP under general business as number one, and I'm so excited for him to talk to you guys. He has a lot of great information. His water heater's house went out, so he cannot be here, but he promised he'll be here next month. So number one under general business, we'll have to table that.
Okay. Right. Any other changes? Okay, we have a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve.
Everybody approve. Say aye. Mm-hmm. Unanimous. Cool. Moving on. Informational items. Water District. Jordan Bunker, talk to us. Please.
All right, where do you guys want me tonight?
Right there. It's good.
Dangerous question. Dangerous question.
I'll reword it next time. Good evening. I'm Jordan Bunker with the Las Vegas Valley Water District. Just have a quick update for you this evening. The monthly reading and data collection for the James Hardy North and South Wells was completed yesterday, April 27th. The data gathered indicates that the North Well has a static water level of 15.94 feet below land surface, and the South Well's static water level is 15.74 feet below land surface. So that's a decline of just about 9 inches since last month, and just less than 4 feet since April of last year. As far as system operations go, there was a main break on Montana Court early in the morning of April 22nd. I believe it happened between 2 and 3 a.m. Residents were out of water until about noon that day. We were able to make contact with most, if not all, of the residents on the street and let them know what was going on that morning. And we're appreciative of their patience as the crews worked to fix that break. It all got fixed. It's good now. As far as the quick update just on the rates process, we held 3 informational workshops over the past week and a half. We held 2 of them here at the rec hall, and then we held 1 virtually. We had about 35 people total show up at all of the meetings, which percentage-wise is actually a really good turnout compared to a lot of these other meetings and processes that I've done, so kudos to the community for that. We had some really good discussion, good questions. We presented information on some capital improvements that will be occurring here in the community over the next few years, as well as new water rates for the Blue Diamond community. We received some good feedback and input from the community, which we'll be presenting at next month's CAC meeting when we ultimately will solicit a rate structure recommendation from the council. Some of the input that we did receive that we're going to be looking at is looking at adding an additional tier to those that we already presented to really incentivize more conservation, especially on the highest water users. And we're also looking at equalizing the service charge for all residential meters. So the service charge for all residential meters, whether it's a 5/8 inch or a 3/4 inch or a 1 inch, it would all be an equal service charge for everybody. And then we also got a little bit of feedback that didn't really have to do anything with the capital improvements and the water rates, but it was good feedback nonetheless, and we're working with a couple of property owners individually with some of the concerns that they had. One of them had complained that there was a lot of debris on Water District property that's around the storage tanks. So Derek Jackson and his crew got there the very next morning and did an entire site cleanup, and the property owner adjacent to it was very appreciative of those efforts. So, as I mentioned at the May meeting, we'll make a more thorough presentation of the process and solicit a rate structure recommendation from the CAC. And that concludes my report for tonight.
Thank you, Jordan. I just wanted to emphasize, he's going to ask us to recommend a rate structure, so will you guys please tell us what you want? So that, you know, we don't just say, well, we think you're going to want this, and then you come back and go, no, we wanted this other thing. So please tell us.
Jordan, would it be possible for the residents of Blue Diamond to get that information before the meeting and also the board? Because otherwise we'd be seeing it for the first time at that meeting, and it's always tough to make a decision like that without doing some research yourself.
As far as information is concerned, what specific information are you asking for?
Basically what you've come up with at that point in time, or close to that point in time. I realize you're still finalizing things at this point in time, but
I can do that to the extent possible. I can certainly get it to the board. I don't know. I'm not sure how I'd blast it out to the entire community. That's kind of what we were doing at these
right.
at these meetings, was showing everybody.
Right.
But if I don't know if there's an easy way or a.
If you have a document ready the week before, we can include it with the agenda as backup for the agenda.
Oh, okay. Great idea. Perfect.
Yeah. So people can see it and you know, either go bravo or oh, I got a problem with that.
Sure.
Or
so,
we
good.
Can put it on Blue Diamond Village Shield.
Yeah. If you send it.
Yeah.
If you send it to me digitally, I can post it.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
That's great.
We'll do both.
That's great. Great.
Can you had as far as information for deciding on the tiers, 2 years ago you had given us like a scatter plot that showed the kind of how the water usage was. And so that was very helpful because it shows where they cluster, where most people fall below. You know, and that way we can say, well, most people fall below whatever, 150,000 gallons. So that could be a tier.
Sure.
We can show some breaks, but unless people know what the usage is, you're just throwing out numbers and it doesn't really, it's not meaningful.
Yep, understand.
So
yeah, we can bring that type of information with us most certainly.
The scatter.
Yeah,
plot.
Absolutely. Yep.
Is it maybe something you could even post so we could get it to people prior so they could consider it?
I think we should be able to include that with the other information that we'll present, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Just as a question, would you be, what would you be looking at, like 2020 water use total, or? Because I know they did the statistics for 2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I have the statistics, and
okay.
we can put those in there. Yeah,
I asked him for the data monthly, so because it's the tier information is monthly. So,
but oh yes, right.
So I mean, we can do it monthly. That's going to be, if you want it month by month, that's going to be a lot of information.
No, we don't need. Remember, I asked for either average or high and low.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. We can also provide just like kind of average monthly water use over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's kind of good to show the huge fluctuation, though.
Okay.
Winter to summer.
Yeah, it's what you had asked me about in that email.
Yeah.
I can certainly get.
Yeah. Something like saying a scatter plot for each month of the year?
No, not each month of the year. That's too much data.
Right, so what?
I was asking for average or high and low. So, like August and February or something. Mm-hmm. You know? Because the tiers are by month, not by year. And so people want to know.
But you know, our averages are not a good thing.
I know, that's why I said high and low.
But, yeah.
So we could look at like the peak month, which would maybe July, August, and then, as Barbara said, we could look at February or December, if that's to the council's liking.
Doing a scatter plot for each of those months, is what you're saying?
So you get twice as much information, well, you get two plots instead of one.
Yeah,
instead of having an annual average, you have the high, you have one plot for the high month and one plot for the low month.
So essentially one would represent the customer residential water usage in February, and then the other graph would represent, it would show August, which would obviously be much higher than the summer.
Do you think there would be a correlation between the well levels and water use?
you know, we've worked hard at seeing if that correlation exists, and the water levels are really incredibly dependent on rainfall as it comes down.
Okay.
But there is certainly some correlation between water use, and it's just not as strong as just correlation
with
the rainfall.
If there was, I was going to say, you know, if we could put it all on the same piece of paper, it'd be cool, but I get it that it's really more of a natural phenomenon than a conception.
It really is.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
Right,
see
you
next
time.
Month.
Thank you.
But now we're going to receive a report from Metro.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Nothing new to report, but I'll gladly answer any questions anybody.
Nothing new to report.
Is this a time to, we have been talking about trucks on 159.
Yes, ma'am.
There's two pieces of legislation that don't allow trucks on 159.
Our NHPA is going to answer all of that next month because he's the enforcer of it and he's been working on it.
Okay, next month.
Yeah, he was supposed to be here tonight. That's when I said earlier, and he, I mean, literally at the last minute, he's like, I can't be there. So, and he's been working on it even before I asked him. They've been working on it. So he has a lot of great information.
Oh, perfect.
Well, thanks for having no information to report. That means nothing bad is happening.
Yeah, no information is good information.
Yep. Okay.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. So now we're going to hear from Sheila Billingsley, who's going to tell us about the Red Rock Bike Trail.
You know what?
You know, I'm going to defer to the BLM because they are now showing up to meetings, and they're really the lead agency on the bike path.
Okay.
I'm just a project applicant.
Do you want to just... you're next on the agenda, so let's move on and ask the BLM to tell us how they're what's going on in their world.
Hi everyone, I'm Josh Roberts. I'm the assistant field manager for Red Rock Canyon. Legacy Bike Trail, we just went out to the public with an environmental assessment regarding geotech work that will drill. It's the drilling of boreholes that will test the soil that will allow for construction in the proposed areas for the trail. And so that environmental assessment went out to the public. We received comments. We're working with Federal Highways on the review of those comments, and we are waiting. We're just waiting for them to finalize the environmental assessment process, and from there we'll start the geotech work. That geotech is just, it's going to test the soil for where we're at a 30% drawing, and we're to get us to go from 30% drawing to 60%, we have to understand what the soil and the ground is going to support as far as when we get to a point of construction. So as long as the geotech comes back and says that we're good to go move forward with what's being proposed, we'll be able to put out an environmental assessment that it's a much bigger analysis of the landscape that the trail will impact, and that will go out to the public, and it will detail exactly what the legacy trail is going to look like. Once we're at that 60%, it's moving from 60 to 90% drawings is a 60% is almost finalized. It just gets us there. So, and then other news about regarding BLM is we finished the public input commenting period for both Cottonwood and the Cottonwood Valley Recreation Area and the Calco Basin Recreation Area. We're working with our contractor on the Calco Basin. That's our first highest priority as far as moving these plans forward, and we're working on the development of that plan that includes all of the public input that we received. And once we get to a place where we have a draft ready to present to the public, you'll be hearing about when that's available to go out. And then exciting news for us, effective May 1st, we are reopening our Red Rock Canyon Visitor Center. And so we're very excited about that. There's been a lot of work in the background to get us to where we're creating a safe but enjoyable experience where Red Rock Canyon will officially, all of our facilities that supports recreation will be open to the public. And we are managing the facility due to the direction from the Department of Interior. We're going to be managing at a 25% capacity. And then with continued guidance that comes down from the national office, we'll be moving towards that 100% capacity as conditions continue to improve. That's it. Katrina, did you want to add anything to that? Any questions?
Josh?
Yes.
Is with the visitor center being open, is that through reservation, or you can just drive up and get in at this point in time?
That's a great question. To go to the visitor center, it is included in the reservation system.
Okay.
Yep. The capacity in the scenic drive includes the parking capacity that we have there at the visitor center.
Okay, good. Thank you.
One thing I might add, Katrina is still going to drive up, so. In federal facilities, as you guys hear, the masks are mandatory in federal facilities, so that's going to affect the visitors that are open.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Katrina, I want to thank you for working with Megan on those nice flyers about being nice to the boroughs.
Oh, that was a tad. She's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. We interrupted you. I'm sorry. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I ask just one more question?
Yeah, please.
On the bike path, this is a hypothetical. If something comes up and you can't use that piece of land because of the geotech test, will the route basically still stay the same? You know, like the plan one, plan two, plan stage, or stage one?
Yeah, it just depends on what that geotech testing comes back with and the severity of the testing. But if there's a huge segment, we're going to be looking at a fairly significant reroute too.
Okay.
And then we'd have to go back to doing some geotech work. But we're expecting that we're going to be able to move forward. It is the expectation, and no slowdown.
Good. Perfect. Thank you.
What we're hoping for.
Thank you.
Josh, is it your guess that it'll be a couple of years before there's a trail to ride on?
We're now that we've got our groove down and it seems to be the planning between Federal Highways, NDOT, the county, and the BLM, and then there's other supporting groups that's involved in that. It took a minute for the planning to really push forward, and now I feel like we're moving in a really good direction, and I think we're set up for success for the next phases that's getting ready to come online. We're starting phase five, which is this end of the highway. We're starting to have conversations about what the planning is going to look like for that, and we're actually starting the planning. And so we'll follow the same steps. We'll do geotech work. Once we get it to a 30% drawing, we'll start to work on environmental assessment and then work towards construction from there on both ends. I will say that we're working at two opposite ends that have supporting funds right now. We believe that the BLM is going to be awarded a very large sum of money that's going to completely plan out the entire middle section of the Legacy Trail. And we were rated as the number one ranked project, and it's going to the Secretary of the Interior, and we're expecting it to go smooth sailing there as well. That will support the completion of the planning the whole trip.
Wonderful.
So are we looking at how long before you expect phase one to be actually completed?
The plan was to start construction in 2022. COVID and there was a slowdown in planning and moving towards getting the groove between all agencies to get us moving forward. But I think construction can still happen in 2022. I just don't think it's going to happen at the beginning of 2022. But Federal Highways is pressing hard and fast to try and get us as close to back on schedule as we can now that we're preparing for the geotech work, and as long as that goes well, getting us prepared to get the full environmental assessment that will support the entire design of the trail.
When you say that it's a very large sum of money, isn't that public information? Can you know the amount?
$36 million.
Thank you.
Thank you to both of you for being here. Because for a long time, we never had anybody from BLM show up at our meeting, so it's really important. So thank you.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, we're really glad to support to the communities that we surround and that live within us, and we want to develop partnerships with all of you and have a good working relationship.
Right, thank you.
Great. Now we're going to hear from Clark County Administrative Services in the person of our very own liaison, Megan Holzer.
Okay. So first I want to introduce, I have two friends that came with me. They're co-workers and friends. They are both with Commissioner Miller's office, so Stephanie Sibley and Jim D'Amico.
Hello.
And so they are mostly in the Northwest and not here, but Calico Basin is in Commissioner Miller's district. So we have some overlap there, and they're both kind of new to the town boards and everything, so they want to see how I do it. We'll see if they take any any good tips from me. Okay, so let me take this off, sorry. I met with Kaizad, Yazdani, and Jimmy Benoit, who are our deputy director of public works and the manager of traffic manager, with things we talked about last month, about different ideas of how to handle the increasing traffic in the village. So as I told you before, the signs were no, and I was looking at my notes before I came, and I realized I didn't ask them about the community doing the signs, so I will circle back on that one. I forgot that one. I talked to him about one-way streets. He said everything's a possibility. He said one-way streets, in his experience, have not solved problems. They've created more problems, especially in older communities where people are used to going one way or the other, and that neighbors get very frustrated if they're at the end of the street and they can't just turn right to get out and they have to go left. So he said in his experience, it's led to a lot of frustration. But if it's something you felt strongly about and you put a proposal together, they would review it. Same with the gated communities. He said it does not have to be 100%, it has to be a majority, which that was news to me. I thought it would be 100% to be gated. And again, he said taking over maintenance of streets isn't just the streets, it's the street lights, it's leaving opportunities for utilities. So he said there is quite a cost involved with privatizing streets, and that it leads to other frustrations and consequences like emergency access, things like that. So the only thing he said no to were those signs. Everything else he said, if you guys bring a proposal and you can get more than 50% of people to agree to pursue it, then they will review it. So,
yeah. Sheila Delancey, One Last Street. I know he had mentioned speed bumps or whatever they're called.
Yes, speed bumps are not.
Well, can there be a variance? Can we ask for some sort of a special something on that?
I'll ask. When it's been asked for other communities, it's been no.
Right, but I'm not. So I'm for the variance, for some sure. sort of a, if people want to put no trees in their parking lot, it's just the variance
sure.
of a
sure.
Thank you.
Has Calico looked into privatizing the street?
They have a lot of private roads.
Like, looked into it. I had a conversation with Megan about it recently. It's one of the things under consideration.
Most.
Evan, can you speak a little bit louder because people, want to hear you?
Most of the roads in Calico Basin are already private. There's only the main spine road that goes to the trailheads, and then two other public roads that serve maybe eight or nine residences. So that is one discussion that's being had, but we don't know if that's going to go anywhere or not. So that was on that. the landfill. We just actually just discussed this yesterday with BLM, and so they are putting together the reclamation plan. We'll be giving that to the county to tell us what we need to do to give it back to them. So that's in process. And the landfill, you guys were right. Somebody had texted me and said, oh, congratulations, the landfill was approved. I thought, I can't believe I've heard more about that. Well, it's because it wasn't. It was introduced. So this person didn't understand, and I didn't understand. So I talked to Marcy, and I talked to Commissioner Jones. Right now, there's not much to update, so we're going to save Marcy for when we need her to really share some information. We'd also talked last month about the maps, that they weren't very clear. So I said to Marcy, can we get better maps? She said, there aren't any better maps. And that's because they're not specific yet, because it's, as it's going through the process. So she said, I can't give you any better maps, they don't exist. So I tried. Yeah. They aren't there. So that's it for me, unless there's any questions.
Can you say the name, the first name of the public works person again?
Kaizad Yazdani.
Wow.
But you know what's funny is he came out to Good Springs with me one time to look at things, and he grew up in India, and he said he felt very at home because that's how like the area he grew up in India. Wow. So it's very interesting. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Right, anything else for you? You're gonna hear a lot from me more later. So.
Okay, well, thanks very much. So next we have a planning and zoning item. It's a waiver of development standards for Zach Romero and Katie Gully. Are you guys here? Where? There you are.
Yep.
You guys want to tell us about what you would like us, what you would like done?
Thank you. Plots and stuff that I'll hand out that you guys could take a look at.
Thank you, Zach.
I didn't put a lot, but I will pass out what I have and you share.
Sure. All right. Did
you look at this?
I didn't look at this. I looked at them behind
me. Oh, you didn't like look over.
I looked at them.
Is it all
right?
Okay.
No, not the addition. But he's got the box in the back. Mm-hmm. Right.
What is the box?
It right now is just a, it's just a,
so, my name is Zach Romero. I live at 4 Glenbrough Street with my wife Katie, who is supposed to be crossing now. We're in the process of doing an addition. So we have two waivers that we're going for right now. The first one, the waiver is for rear setback. By Clark County, you need 20-foot rear setback. We're proposing a, I believe it's 30% setback to, instead of 20 feet, we're proposing 16 feet for principal structure. And the principal structure that's really in that 16 feet is a small 3x6 utility room for water heater, electrical panel, and such. So main structure is closer than 20 feet, but not by much, I guess was what I'm trying to say. The second waiver we're going for is 100% decrease in rear setback for accessory structure. Currently I have a 8x40-foot shipping container in the yard as storage. It's basically my garage, since we don't have a garage on that small lot. And that structure is a temporary structure. It won't be there forever. Once the addition's done and we can build a small garage, it will be not on the property line. Currently, it is on the property line, so that's the issue with it right now. It sits right at the property line. It basically creates a wall slash fence in my backyard, 8 foot tall, just like a backyard fence would be. So it is right on the property line, not blocking the alley. We do have the alley behind us, which is a good thing. So, you know, we have that, I believe it's a 15-foot alley, your easement, maybe even 20 there. But yeah, it's, you know, we're trying to, we have a small lot. It's one of the smaller lots in town, you know, 7,500 square feet. The addition we're proposing to add is 596 feet onto our current 714 square foot home. We have one of the last remaining one bedroom homes in town, which I know a lot of you have lived in those and they're small. So we're just trying to make a little more space for ourselves. are there any questions anyone might have?
Does anybody see any
of
your neighbors giving any objections to this, or is it everybody you talk to them and everybody's okay with it?
Everyone's okay with it so far. We have Bruce and Sherry behind us, which me and Bruce get along well. We talk a lot in the alley, and we've talked verbally about it. Same thing with Lynn. Our other neighbors, we have a younger couple, Keone and Lisa, that are good friends of ours, and they have no objection. And same with, we also have Marley, who's our other neighbor, that has no issue as of now.
With the shipping container, is there like a time frame in approval? Or I know you said you, no.
Is there, no, because as of now, the waiver is for accessory structure setback, so there's no timeline on that necessarily. Because I guess that they're treating it like it would be a permanent structure, a garage or something there.
So when you do the garage, it'll just look different? It'll be a different application?
Yeah, it won't be there on the property line. The garage will not be there on the property line, so that will get removed as the garage gets built.
But the garage is not part of this plan, right?
It is not, no. Currently the garage is not part of this plan. And the reason for that is I can only do one construction project at a time. We've lived here now 6 years, and I think it was about 6 months after we moved in that I started the remodel on the house, and that's still a work in progress. So it's hard being a one-man army, I guess. But other than that, the addition, there's an elevation in there that shows, height-wise, how everything will look. My plan with the place is to keep it looking original. From the front of the house, it will look original. You won't know there's an addition back there, which has kind of been the plan with it the whole time. I like the original old mining homes, so trying to keep it as much fitting in as possible, I guess.
A couple questions.
Yep.
Basically, is the alleyway used by any other utility other than NV Energy? Because I see the telephone poles up on the...
The only other utility that runs through the alley would be sewer.
Okay.
And power's overhead, so there's sewer there. Water actually is, which they're supposed to be replacing, but the water main sits, it basically runs down through that part of Allegro in everyone's backyard. So the addition will not be on top of the water line. The water line's basically in between the addition and where the shipping container is right now. And dealing with the county, because I had to get my water meter moved to build the addition, dealing with the 2 months of process of that, they're saying that they're gonna move the utility water into the street starting, they're saying this year, but we know how that's been lately, with things starting.
And I believe you just answered the question that Pauline was asking, I had written that down. Is the waiver just for the trailer and not for a future garage? And said...
Yeah, it's not for a future garage.
You had answered that. So basically, what I was wondering with that accessory structure, in the Red Rock overlay, the accessory structure should match the house. So perhaps it should be painted the same color as the house?
And that's kind of...
Would that be...
And that's a doable thing for me. It's something that I kind of want to be doing, but again, it wasn't a high priority.
Right. I know it's going, but usually that's one of the things in the Red Rock overlay. I mean, I'll leave it up to everybody else to see if they think that's a big deal. And then I also have this is something I didn't understand. I was looking on the county website. You have the addition wall, which would be 11 feet 4 and 3/8 inches from the trailer. Okay. Then the back of the utility room would be 8 feet 3.5 inches from.
Yep. Same.
Right. That's what you had on the very small print, but I was able to see. And then you have a covered patio that looks to be 2 to 3 feet from the trailer.
Right.
It's gonna be tight, isn't it? I know you got a small lot.
It definitely will be tight for a while until that garage moves. And, the patio cover might be a thing that doesn't happen until later on down the road.
Down the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my basic concern is that being right there on the alleyway, but I don't know if anybody uses that alleyway. The telephone poles are on the opposite side, doesn't inconvenience anybody.
And so that, like I said, I've lived here almost 6 years. That container's been there for about the past 4.5 years, probably. And I've never had a problem with anybody with visually how it looks or it being that close to the alley. Again, it's only 8 foot tall, which is the size of a legal fence on a property line. Lynn Billingsley's house, there's an 8 foot wall on the other side of the alley there. So it doesn't really change traffic lane or egress or anything in or out of the alley.
Yeah, and actually yours is on the property. If you look at the picture across from there, there look like some boards and some blocks there. So I mean,
yeah, it's, and that's sort of like stuff from cleaning up the alley as well. You know, there's always trees and stuff in the alley, and so we're, you know, and there's a couple blocks and stuff back there. But for the most part, it's a very clean section of.
Well, after all those questions, I would recommend approval. I'll wait for everybody else to see what they say. But would I like to see that further away? Yes, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to bother anything.
And I would like to see it further away or not there in the near future in the big plan.
And I like the door on your side.
Exactly. So there's no door facing the alley, so yeah. it's not impeding really at all. I don't know.
Do you push to the center of the alley? Do you know?
No that's actually...
it's wholly owned by the other side.
That's actually owned by the county or the city, I believe.
Oh, is it? That alley is an official alley?
Yeah, different alleys are different in our village, yeah.
Which is strange because like that part of the alley is, I wouldn't call it maintained, but drivable.
Right.
But then as soon as you cross Sage, past like where Mike Ward lives, where they're building that big, huge house, they're kind of using the alley and it's blocked and it's not even drivable at that point on that part.
Yeah, right. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah,
the alleys are different. The alley further that way is part of each person's property, but this one's different. So, I don't know how it ended up that way.
And it's the weirdest thing. It's like they have that alley, and it's a recognized alley, but again, the water main runs right through everyone's backyard. So I thought that was the purpose of the alley, was for utilities and stuff. But
go figure.
In 1941, people weren't really thinking that, I guess.
And thank you for all this, because this is always helpful when...
I figured as much. Come
forward with the stuff, and we were able to look at it online. There was like five pages of plans, and then there was all this stuff. So that's where I got those numbers from and stuff like that. But this is really helpful. So if everybody that's bringing something forward had all this information, this is great.
And I just want to be upfront and do it in the right way, and go through the process so we can, if anybody does have a problem. And I don't want to run into the problem later down the road of doing something that's not up to code or up to par, or I don't want to deal with it later on down the road, so it's better just to get it over with now.
Yeah, great.
Well, I would support it as well.
Further discussion. Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Everybody's in favor. It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Making the motion, Bob?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I just want to get my name on the minutes. So that's why I say yes on the minutes, on the agenda.
Minutes, that's it.
He wants to show that he was paying attention. Okay, so we have one other really big thing on our agenda, which is the Transform Clark County Master Plan and Development Code Rewrite Project.
All right, so I have a project here with a whole lot of information. And it's in order, so don't take it apart yet, because I'm going to address it in order. You guys already got it.
Yeah,
please. There's a lot of information. I'm going to break it down hopefully so it's digestible. It can be a little confusing, but I will do my best to explain it. So what we're doing right now, the county has a master plan for all communities, and of a rewrite of the master plan and Title III. Right now we're in the master plan phase. So the first page of your packet there is just a little background about it, what I just told you. There's also more materials if you want to look at it, if you want more information. The way they did it is I wish they put the website on there instead of just making it a hyperlink, because you can't click on a hyperlink on a piece of paper. So if you want more information, you can go to transformclarkcounty.com, or I can email this to you, and you can go to the hyperlinks. And it was attached to the agenda. So if you go online and get the agenda, you can go to the more details.
And it's on the back of the website.
Oh, it's on the back. Thank you. Thank you. So the next little packet in your packet is, at the top it says, about the land use planning process, planning areas. So one of the things about the land use plan is there's a gazillion categories for different kinds of zoning, or potential zoning. And we've talked about this before. I'll do a little quick recap. What we're talking about here with land use categories are the potential of the land, not today's zoning. Nothing in this is going to change anything on zoning today. We're talking about the future plan of the community. So they've decided to condense some of the categories to make it easier to navigate, some of it just makes sense. So you can see little pictures of it, but if you go to this page here with the rainbow, this is what they're proposing. So right now, you'll see the first column there says existing land use categories. So you'll see all the ones that are listed there, and there's a bunch. On the right-hand column, you'll see what they're changing them to. So, or what they're proposing to change them to. So a couple are being combined, like RR and RA are combining to outlying neighborhoods, which I appreciate, being that I cover all rural communities, because they don't call us neighborhoods, and we are neighborhoods. We do have neighborhoods in our rural communities. So I like the wording change. And so those would be from one dwelling unit per 2 acres up to one dwelling unit per acre. RNP and RN, you'll see what's happened there. They're combining some of them. You can look at this in more detail if you have input on it. It doesn't do a whole lot for Blue Diamond. It doesn't affect Blue Diamond a whole lot because you're mostly built and you have your land uses in place. But in town, some of these things are pretty controversial for different things. So I don't want to talk a whole lot about this. If you have questions, I can answer them, or I'll try to. Yes.
So this first category, when they combine things, is that going to change zoning? On, I know you said it's not going to change it right away. But
It will not change zoning
at all. So there'll still be these two different
It'll go to one.
Densities in ON.
No, ON will be just... it'll be one dwelling unit per 2 acres up to one dwelling unit per 1 acre. So it just encompasses both.
It encompasses both. Yep. So a lot that's currently zoned for one dwelling per two acres will not change to one dwelling per acre
the potential to do a zone change would change. Mm-hmm. So right now, if it's one dwelling unit per 2 acres and you couldn't... You couldn't do a zone change to do one per acre.
You can't.
It would be non-conforming. If, when this change goes through, you could ask for the zone change to one dwelling unit per acre.
Oh.
Doesn't mean you'd be approved. It still has to go through the same process.
Well, that does not sound like a good idea.
Where's R1 on here?
R1, if you flip to the next page, this back page, it has the other, like more shadowy rainbow. R1 is in, R1 starts in RS. Yeah, so RS is up to 8 dwelling units per acre. So you flip back, the RS is now going to be part of mid-suburban neighborhood, so it would be 8 to 14 dwelling units per acre. I didn't propose them. This is just the proposal.
This sounds potentially very impactful. I mean, it sounds like it could more than double the density of our area.
Well, it potentially could, but it's also, these are not guaranteed. It's up to 14. Doesn't mean they're going to get 14. It's also dependent on infrastructure, water, all those things. So
right,
I'm not advocating for these at all.
I mean, we keep being told, you know, with the roads property that, it's not guaranteed that they're going to get the next step in their process, but they just keep getting them. So I think
there's a lot of safety measures in place for a non-conforming zone change. I mean, you know, in fact, the fact that you have to have, you know, a lot more approvals, you have to have a neighborhood meeting,
so
you have to...
You're right. So, yeah, it would take away some of that.
And
difficult.
Isn't it like every, like after they do the land use plan, you have to wait a certain number of years before you can ask for a non-conforming zone change?
So I'm going to record all of your input here, and I think you feel strongly about it. I would encourage you, I will put this in, but you can also go on the website and put your own comments in. So I'm just here to get input.
And to inform us.
And to inform you, yes.
Can we at our future meeting just say half acre, 1 acre? Because I got used to RE and RU and all the other ones.
But we're not doing zoning. We're not talking zoning.
I know.
Remember, we're talking land use.
I know.
So when we come to you, because we just did our land use plan here a couple of years ago, and this is we talked about this. So so this is more big picture than what you can do today. So.
Can we get Kevin and Paul back again?
Kevin retired.
He did?
Yeah.
Really?
We had a bunch of retirements. What, like 450 people from the county retired?
Paul take over then?
Paul's doing it. He's a one-man show now.
So you say, well, it's just a big picture, but the big picture becomes the details eventually.
Oh, I know. And I don't mean it's just the big picture, but this is the big picture. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm really confused because, like, let's say on this second page of rainbow stuff, it has, it's a little hard to read, but on the second category down, it has on the left residential rural up to one dwelling for 2 acres.
Yeah.
And then on the right side of it, it mentions rural open land, RU zoning, and then we go down to, the RU gets mentioned in a whole bunch
of
these categories.
Because you can underfill kind of any kind of zoning. So even though you would be allowed to do, say, 8 units per acre, you could come in and do big lots and do 2 acre lots. So you have the potential to do anything lesser, but you can't go higher. So the RU, you could do RU in any of those categories. Because they're bigger lots. The smaller you go, the more restricted it gets.
I've never seen residential medium as a land use. Where it says
it's right
land use. No, but I mean, I don't see it.
Well, because, and just from my experience, people want either big lots or developers want to do little lots.
No,
I
just, well, no, that's us. We're residential
medium.
But if you look on the Clark County website, it doesn't say land use residential medium right now. This is saying existing land use.
This is all the categories.
Well, she's saying this one doesn't appear, even though.
Yeah, I'm saying if you go on the Clark County website and I looked up one of the R1 lots and I looked for land use, it wouldn't say residential medium.
Right, because your potential future doesn't necessarily match what it is today.
Well,
but
it says
existing land use categories.
This isn't just for Blue Diamond.
I'm just saying I've never seen residential medium as a land use.
Okay, well...
But it's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of that weird one in between, and that's part of the reason they're doing this. You see, residential suburban goes up to 8, and then high goes 8 to 18.
You know what?
So it's kind of that weird in the middle. That's probably why it's not
I think
common.
You're right. I think it shows up as RS.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's true.
Yeah, I think you guys are RS.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is. RS.
And I had a plan, and I didn't. I knew I was forgetting something, and I was bringing the land use plan with me. This process is not over, so I'll bring land use plan next month. I apologize. I was getting all these packets ready and forgot to grab the plan.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad we have Pauline on the board because she knows about all this, and I don't. So the more I hear about it, the more educated I get.
And I would encourage you to go on the website, and there'll be as much information as you want to read about. So,
You know, life is short.
I know, and I am not the expert on this. I haven't been super involved in this process, in the decision-making. What my involvement has been is saying we must bring it out to each community so you all get your own say, so that people in town aren't making decisions for you guys.
That's appreciated, yep.
And what is our role in this? Basically,
your role is just to give me feedback, and the community, anybody to give feedback. Okay. I will take it back there. And like I said, if you feel strongly or have more detailed comments you want to provide, go on the website and put those comments in. The consultants, I will tell you, are very open to the input, and they want the input. They've been really great to work with, and they understand rural areas. So not
Megan,
everybody does.
If I understand this correctly, so if someone had an RU property,
mm-hmm.
then and they wanted to change it to RA, it would be in their master, it would be in the land use category, so it'd be conforming, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a problem, because that's exactly what Jim Rhodes has, and that would double his
capacity
with a
non-conforming.
And I strongly agree, Pauline, with this. It's like, it looks like it becomes a free-for-all that basically anybody can make a case and sue the county for not allowing them to do these changes, and suddenly whatever the land use you want is, you could go, you know, you'll end up with 10 units per acre in Calico Basin, you know.
Well, it would go that far.
But it would go within.
But you could double the number.
You could double it.
Yeah,
and be conforming.
But also, though, if you look at these, there's 10 million excuses for RU here.
Well, I mean, there was a big reason they made non-conforming zone changes, mm-hmm. and put all kinds of rules and regulations around it.
Right.
And now you're kind of saying, particularly in our area, which is a lot of rural, that you could ask for RA and it'd be conforming. And that's doubling the acreage. I think that's a gigantic problem.
Okay, I got that. Concerns about increasing density, and
not just increasing density, but the non-conforming aspect.
Yes.
Comments in by May
31st. May 31st, thank you, Jen. Okay, so that's important, but I really want to get to the policies too. So, and I think this does require a little bit more study for you guys to get all the.
Just before you get there.
Yeah.
I know H2 is zoning.
Mm-hmm.
What like along 160? What where would that fall in the land use? Would that be?
H2 would probably fall under. Let me see. Hold on. You know, H2 isn't listed on here because it's a defunct category, so
right,
I don't know that answer.
Right, but
I don't know.
But there's always a problem with people along with who's ever on H2 when they're coming forward, what they can do, what they can't do, and stuff like that.
I don't know that answer.
Okay.
So that'll be one I'll have to get back to you on.
Can people say something new?
We're not
for
people.
You know, so I know you had said that the nature of rural communities is really important and it's different and the county's going to really embrace that and bring it in, but it does seem like you are changing that nature hugely by increasing the possible density in these changes.
Well, and keep in mind,
ignoring that, I just think that the statement is disingenuous if this is what they're proposing.
This is not what the county is proposing. This is what the consultants have put together to bring out for comment.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So,
I think it's disingenuous and they're missing the rural nature of community that the county has expressed the desire to maintain.
Okay.
But the county hired these consultants, correct?
Yes.
Right. And from what I'm hearing here, some of Pauline's questions and the other questions, is I had always thought being there at that first meeting before I said my head's going
to
explode on that, is that there's a difference between the rural and the urban areas. would land use deal with that? Urban and rural? Like in other words, instead
that's
of having
horrible.
More density that Pauline's talking about on something, to keep, I mean, because, you know, most of the zoning out here being one home for 2 acres, if that goes bye-bye, we got problems.
Right, I think that's exactly what we're talking about,
right,
what the concerns
right,
are that
right,
I'm going
right.
to take back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Yeah, I'm not married to this plan at all. Please don't think that.
You're just
I'm just tasked with bringing it.
Well, we're not saying it's your fault. Believe me,
you know, I live on 2 acres. I like big properties, so I wouldn't. Yeah.
I know.
Yes, go ahead.
Judy Grant, 11 Cottonwood. So, these Transformer Clark County, you're soliciting individual comments from individuals
and from each town board.
Also town boards. Mm-hmm. And is that it, or is there other community organizations or anything else that you're soliciting comments from?
Well, we're soliciting comments from anyone in the community. We aren't going specifically to other organizations. I don't know, they may have reached out to maybe realtors or developers or the water district. I don't know. I don't know that part of it. I'm not on that team. But I know we're soliciting it through what I'm doing, through individual comments that you can go on. And this is what we fought for, was to bring it out to the town boards as well. So it's not just one person giving comments. It's a community providing input.
So,
yeah.
So then the town board,
This was for discussion only, so I'm taking all input. So if you disagree about something, I'm going to take both input. Just like when we review an application, I don't just write down the people that are in favor. I write down all the comments, and all those go back. So that's what I'm putting every comment. So if you thought it's great, I'll say that we have someone thinks it's great. You know, so no, this is just so we can get your input. Does that answer?
Actually, the question is probably more for the board than for you. Is how much is the board going to take into account the community's input versus...
They're not voting.
We're not voting.
They're not voting on this.
You're not.
No, this is just for discussion. They are not voting.
The town board doesn't vote on it at all.
This
everybody has a chance to put in input.
It may come out when we get to the final stages. I don't know what that implementation plan looks like. This was brought here not for the board to talk about, so as we have a mechanism for the community to get together to discuss it. This is how we
I think it's
stuff.
Fairly safe to say that at this point, I think we're all universally against it.
Yeah. I hear you.
Right.
I hear you.
Right, right. So if you really want our opinion,
right.
It's now.
Right. So I will
tell you name and address.
Right now, you are all on level playing field. Your comments don't mean anymore. I'm not even saying who's saying it. And I don't care who's saying it. I'm just writing down what the input is. So.
And also, Evan, you represent us on some committee that meets to talk about this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we had one meeting last week, I guess it was. And... Well, Megan warned me that it would be somewhat obtuse, and she was correct. and honestly, even when you go to the website for this Transform Clark County, I don't even know how to describe it, but what looks like buttons underneath all of these subjects, there's almost no information on any given screen. They've cleverly designed it so it's just large graphics and big chunks, big, large font text that doesn't say much. And then there's... It'll have a button. The buttons tend to say things like "see results," and what that is that's where like you'll click on a PDF or what it'll deliver like a PDF typically, and that's something you can kind of read. But like for those who are finding this stuff obtuse, that's pretty much what all of it looks like so far to me. And it took going through that meeting. To actually even, I'd looked at the website several times before the meeting, hoping to be prepared, but I really couldn't understand the website at all till I
was forced to sit through the meeting and kept looking at the website and finally figured out that C results meant that it will deliver some information that doesn't have anything to do with the results. It's like click here to see the PDF.
And that's why I warned you ahead of time. That's why we had a discussion ahead of time, because I wanted you to be prepared. This has been a very vague process. And because we're being recorded, I can't tell you my complete thoughts on the process. Let's just say it's been very vague and amorphous and hard to pin down. Part of it is, like we're going to talk about policies next, part of it is because they are kind of amorphous and fluffy, but the land use categories are definitely more structured. So I wish it had been different. I'm doing the best I can to bring it to you and make sure you guys get your say. That's where we are. And I'm sorry.
Well, that looks like it's structured towards higher density. I mean, so the end result is, or what they're looking for, is to increase density in the valley. And that is, I mean, that's what I get out of this.
And that's not a bad thing in certain parts of the valley.
Right.
That is not in certain parts of the valley.
And I will say, the consultants are coming from a strong planning perspective. Uh-huh. And they may not be used to our very developer-driven community here in Clark County. So in other places, there may be higher levels that people have to prove to get higher zoning. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So the consultants may not understand what you're saying because they aren't used to this kind of environment. And they're learning, and that's part of why we do the calls. And the consultants, they have been very responsive to what we've given them so far. So I'm thinking that must be what it is, because my degree's in planning, and when we studied planning, it was a lot different than what we do here. So again, we're being recorded, so I'll...
Megan?
Yes?
Just wanted to reiterate, you said it, but if they want to get more extensive of their comments, go to the Park, and they can, you can actually put comments in.
You can type a novel in there. Yeah. Okay, so this is the fluffy feel-good part. This is
that
the last...
That feel-good? No, it's coming up.
This is... I know. That was not the fluffy feel-good. This is. The next part is. So this is the last little section of your packet. At the top it says Northwest County. So you guys are a part of the Northwest County. You don't have your own land use plan. You have a section of this larger plan. So on the top it lists, highlight, I had a blue diamond. It talks a little bit about the character of the area, which is kind of just general informational stuff. What we really want to talk about are the goals. Did you not get one?
Yeah.
I put the packets together. I must have.
I didn't get one either, if you got two.
Well, that is operator error. Yeah. Sorry.
This thing looks like some duplicate.
It is a duplicate. I apologize. I had a lot of plates in the air today. There you go.
Is this what you
need? Sorry about that. Sorry about that. All right. So the goals and policies are the part of the land use plan that talk about what you want in your community, what you feel about your community, things like clean air, clean water, water conservation, things like that. So where did I put mine? Oh, here. So I went through and highlighted the ones that are specific to Red Rock, as well as broad ones that encompass, cover Red Rock as well. So the first one on that first page, policy NW1.5, Red Rock, maintain the open rural character of the Calico Basin area, emphasizing the preservation of existing neighborhoods, ensure growth in the community is consistent with severe groundwater limitations and limited private land availability. So these are, the ones that we have in here are existing. These are a part of the existing plan. If you feel that they capture the idea, which that one I think sounds pretty good and encompasses that, then we can leave it. If you think it should be expanded or changed, or a different one added, this is when we talk about it.
A kind of glaring thing is, I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
That's okay.
We put the rural character of Calico Basin and Blue Diamond. Why is it only Calico Basin?
And I don't know. And that's So I agree. It seems weird that that under Red Rock it singles out Calico Basin, because I would say that Blue Diamonds. We had one yesterday, last night, that said protect dark skies, especially in Searchlight. What? No, Searchlight doesn't just get all the dark skies. So we've marked that out. So yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I agree.
And on this first page, it mentions Blue Diamond, but not Calico Basin.
I know.
But that was feeling left out.
And is Bob's neighborhood part of any of this?
It doesn't have a specific name, but let's go through the rest of them, because some of them...
But you know what? Bob's neighborhood, I mean, perhaps we could use a Red Rock overlay area, because that encompasses everything.
Yes.
Including Bob's neighborhood.
Yes, Red Rock overlay area. Okay.
Can I mention on this policy, NW 1.5, you know, when it says ensure growth is consistent with severe groundwater limitations and limited private land availability. I mean, when I see that limited private land availability, it sounds like what we mean to do is to force you to subdivide so that more people can enjoy this area.
Okay.
And I don't like
it. I don't know if that's what it means, but...
Right. No, I would venture that nobody but the person who wrote it, and maybe not even they, know what this means.
So I will suggest striking that last... I thought it sounded weird too, but... So I'll suggest striking that last portion.
Are you saying limited private land availability?
Yeah, I mean, what does that mean? When we're going to take that into consideration, what will our focus of thought be?
Right, so let me suggest on that, ensure growth in the community is consistent with severe groundwater limitations and compatible with surrounding public lands and uses or something like that.
Actually, I think that is good, yeah.
Do we need severe?
Yes, groundwater for sure, severe. How deep are your wells in Calico Basin?
Pardon?
How deep are your wells in Calico Basin?
Depends. I've heard everything from like 75 feet to 1,200 feet.
Wow.
Depends on which little stream down there you happen to luck out and hit when you're drilling, is what I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they're going to just take my wording. I think we'll give them the idea, and then they could craft it or whatever. So I added and natural areas.
And actually, the scenic byway piece applies to us as well, number 1.1.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 1.1, limit future development along highways designated as scenic highways and byways by Clark County or the state or federal government. Okay.
I just think that 1.5 is very generic. Because
these are generic.
Right.
These are very generic.
Right. Because when we had John Guillory, Division of Water Resources, believe me, I like certain things like this, but he said, you know, we don't have any water problems with the wells and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's kind of taking what was Calico Basin to start with, and now you're throwing that umbrella under everybody. And maybe that's the way it has to be.
Well, if it's consistent with groundwater limitations, if there aren't limitations, then it wouldn't have to be limited. Right? I mean, if there's severe groundwater, then we need to be cognizant of that. I don't know that it says they have to develop that way if there's plenty of water.
That's why I think the word severe kind of makes it seem like it's everywhere. If it was just everybody thinks is.
How about like existing groundwater conditions or supply or do we like it how it is? I'll add both.
Severe maybe. Like, again, that's a word that's up to very loose interpretation.
Right.
So I'll suggest that. Some feel very comfortable with severe groundwater limitations or with within existing water availability.
So for example, to play devil's advocate, somebody could say, like a developer, let's say, they could come in and say, geez, that water level is 15.94 and 15.74 in the Hardy Well, and the pump is down 52, 60 feet. you don't have a severe water. And you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
I would like something that you could base things on where somebody says something about it, you go, no, there's a definite problem.
I'm taking all in.
I just want to make a small point, though, about fact, which is that it's not just the static levels we're concerned about, it's the dynamic ones. That's what Cody Pellegrino was showing us. That when you turn those pumps on, the water level jumps down tremendously and it goes kind of close to the bottom of the well.
So, and one other thing that has come out of the discussions with the consultants is that they get that the different areas are different. So maybe this would only apply to Blue Diamond and Calico Basin, and maybe your area would be encompassed in a different section.
Well, I would suggest, for instance, instead of severe groundwater limitations, I would use words like the availability of groundwater.
Right, and that's what I put as an alternative.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And like also that. Keep in mind, these are policies. These are not laws, rules, regulations. These are policies. Like I said, they're kind of the fluffy, feel-good thing. This is ideally how we feel our community should prosper and go in the future. Not that they don't mean anything, but they just are more wishes and thoughts about the future. So, are we okay? Oh.
Ensure growth in the community is consistent. Maybe that's just is limited to law.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. That thing is struck down.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it could even just say ensure that the population is consistent with, because maybe growth isn't the right thing for an area.
So I'll put all those different ideas out there and basically say, hey, there was a couple different ways of thinking about it, and it may be the area south of Blue Diamond needs to be looked at differently. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The scenic byways, are we okay with that one?
Yes. Okay. And, you know, 1.7 applies to us, too.
Yes, I was highlighting too quickly, obviously. I apologize. Okay, so 1.7. Prohibit increases in density on land adjacent to the Red Rock Conservation Area in accordance with the Nevada Senate Bill, the Northwest County Land Use Map, and Title 30.
Hate to say it, but the Senate Bill 358 was repealed.
Okay.
That was due to the Jim Rhodes lawsuit.
Okay.
And it's actually Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area, just to be...
And should that be directly adjacent, or when you say adjacent, abutting? Is that... What does that mean?
I don't know.
Are you actually looking for wordsmithing at this point? Or?
I don't think so.
No.
But some wordsmithing may have more meaning to it.
Okay.
So... because adjacent to, some people could think it means abutting.
Right, that's good.
So I think adjacent to probably is, and remember, these are a little bit vague.
And I guess it seems
like this 1.7 is direct contradiction of the RU change to density of one house per acre. Right, so it's fluffy here, and it's saying it shouldn't be changed, but on the previous page, they're saying we're gonna change.
And I think you said that
I see what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That these are the existing policies.
Mm-hmm.
So, what? How come I've never seen them before?
They come to you whenever we do the land use plan. They come and bring out the policies. I know you've read it before.
Yeah.
They're always a part of that review process.
Okay.
But they don't have teeth, and that's I got to be honest. They don't have teeth.
Fluffy. They're fluffy.
They're fluffy. Feel good. So I'll just stop there. Okay. All right. And NW 2.1, water and wastewater access. So this is one that isn't specific to you guys, just the whole area. Promote connection to municipal water and wastewater service wherever available. Elsewhere, ensure septic systems, corrals, feedlots, and underground fuel tanks are installed a safe distance from drinking water wells to ensure protection of public health and water supplies. Reasonable to me, but tell me. Okay, move on. Okay.
Well, I mean, actually, that would be, there is a thing that comes up. Should, I mean, right now, Rhodes is proposing bringing
water line in front of Blue Diamond. So this would mean that we would be, this policy would promote us connecting to it.
But that would be based on the rules by the water district.
Right.
This, in many areas where there are many different wells and many different septic tanks, this is a very good idea because they can compete with each other. There can be all sorts of problems. This isn't a rule. This would not...
it's not enforceable, but still it is a policy that drives decision-making.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's something that doesn't apply to us like it does to other places.
Mm-hmm.
That makes us special.
Right. So. Do I leave it? Do I change it?
Well, just have it not apply to us.
Well, in Calico Basin it applies because we don't have municipal water.
Mm-hmm.
Or sewage or whatever.
In areas other than Blue Diamond?
I don't want to them promote us to hook into municipal water.
Once again, you get the word promote. It's not saying you have to.
Right.
It's
we
it's
have municipal
promote.
Water.
Yeah.
But
in other words, you talk with the Las Vegas Valley Water District, and they might say, we'll pay 85% of the cost. And I would say that's what I got.
District decided that that's something that needed to happen for some reason, this policy isn't going to stop them. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I do.
If it were necessary. So,
I agree with that, but what's the point in having this discussion if we're not going to try to, make these policies represent what we believe in?
Right. So,
I mean, I do not want my water to come from snowmelt in the Rocky Mountains if it doesn't have to, I don't want it to have to be pumped all the way up from Lake Mead to 3,500 feet. I mean, that's a waste of energy. We should learn to live within our limits and our means here.
So I'm putting that maybe that Blue Diamond should be accepted from this, for other areas besides.
And Calico Basin.
Because you are kind of on a municipal system
you
here.
Actually,
you probably
would be much better off if
so
you
I don't
had
know
a municipal water line coming to you.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't have much water there in Calico.
Right, and, well, maybe that's true and it's not obvious. So why not make it obvious?
Sure.
It's something that we care a lot about.
I was also told, where we are, if a water line comes up for us, 160, if our last house is approximately more than, less than 180 feet, then we want to have to hook up. We're more than 180 feet. Close. We wouldn't have to hook up unless our well fill. So this just seems like a very generic, like you're saying.
Yeah, they are very.
Well, it's very generic. So,
but like Barbara said, why even discuss it if we're not going to make it specific to make it suit what you want? So, all right, fire protection. Development within Northwest Clark County should be limited to areas where adequate fire protection services exist or can be efficiently provided.
What's the difference between adequate and efficiently provided?
Or.
what do each one of those mean?
Well, and if it doesn't exist yet, if it's some new development, can you provide fire protection?
Or,
well, Mount Potosi, for example.
I guess my interpretation of that would be, here you have a volunteer fire department, and if all of your volunteer firefighters are at work one day, there is a station that will respond, so it's being efficiently provided. Because that day wouldn't be adequate. I think this is meant on a bigger scale, but that would be how I would think of it.
Hmm. Okay. There wouldn't have been houses along 160, my neighbors there, if this thing were there back in the day before the Mountain's Edge firehouse was there and everything else. So it's very generic. It's
mm-hmm. uh-huh. And I think it's one of the choices we all make to live in rural areas.
Right.
So maybe it's not... but I will tell you that the development that's approved up on Mount Potosi, like you talked about, that is a major concern, and they're going to have to build a fire station there. So this policy works in that case, because that development was not where they existed or were efficiently provided, so they're having to provide it.
Are they part of the Northwest Land Plan?
No, they're Southwest, but I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I was using it as an example.
When you say
yeah.
development on Mount Pogosy, where is that?
Up past the Boy Scout camp.
I see. Okay, yeah.
What's going in up there?
It's a 105-unit subdivision.
105-unit what?
Subdivision.
Subdivision? Is it going to be a 105-unit subdivision up there? Will there still be access to the wilderness lands from the 160 going past the Boy Scout camp, or are they going to close that up?
Oh, no. This is private property that's always been private property. So, yeah, it's always been. He's owned it for 35 years. So.
I see.
Not saying I like it, just saying that's what it is.
No, and also they're going to have, like, it's going to be like a tourist destination. They're going to have off-road vehicles up there and everything.
Well, that's not accurate. Crazy. That's not accurate. The off-road thing that they're doing at the Boy Scout camp is only for people who have purchased that vehicle. It's a private training facility, so the public is not interested.
Well, when I got the variance, that's not what it said for the board meeting of the county.
Okay, well,
so
I
that was in error, because I said no and just faxed it.
Okay, well, that's...
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome. Okay, so 2.3, Fire Department Service Protection. Coordinate with the Clark County Fire Department and volunteer fire departments to provide fire stations, mutual aid agreements, and sufficient water supply to support fire protection.
I like fire protection. No argument.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Calico Basin water quality. Coordinate with Clark County Health District and Nevada State Health Division to monitor water quality in the Calico Basin. Work to identify improved water supply.
Yeah. So
we're looking down at you.
Well, you know, again, it's like, you mean like someone's going to come on my property and forcibly take a sample of water from my well? Because I assure you I won't be doing it voluntarily.
Okay, well, I don't think that's what they're saying.
I'm not sure.
I think there's other ways to monitor water quality than forcing themselves onto your property. Yeah. But I think you may be digging a little deeper on that one than what they're going for.
Yeah. Let's look at what it says, that they're going to monitor Calico Basin water quality. Well, there's a little bit of surface water most of the time or some of the time in Calico Basin. So, okay, I could see that on BLM land they could go dip a test tube into something up in the meadow there or something.
In a lot of rural areas, there are testing wells. You may not be aware of them. We have them out in Sandy Valley. It's just for stuff like this, for testing wells. And
they're not hopping my gate, are they, and coming over and testing my well?
I don't think so. I think you're safe. I think you're all right.
Okay.
You can just put anything you want in that well. They are not going to get on your property.
Get a dog. A big dog.
So I think I would say I like to have good quality water. Uh-huh. And I like to have enough water. So I'm thinking this is a good policy, but...
Well, see, like, for instance, what can they do about the quality of the water? Let's say, for instance, a well, and I don't know, I've never had my well tested, and I drink other water, not for any reason other than I like the taste of other stuff. But let's say a well, somebody's well in Calico Basin, had some kind of contamination in it, what are they going to do? Condemn the well? Because they're certainly unlikely to be able to fix it.
I don't know. Right. I honestly don't know. Right now, they're testing wells in Sandy Valley for Legionnaires' disease.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to absolutely let them on my property to test my well.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to know about my water quality. Wow. So maybe your neighbors are more welcoming than you. But I'm saying I don't know what they would do, and that's not up to us to decide what they would do. It could be that they say you have to boil water. It could be that you have to get bottled water. I don't know. But this is just saying we want it to stay healthy, right? I think. But if you don't like it, we will get rid of it.
Well, you know, I just don't know what to think of it. I don't like any clauses that could be interpreted as the government can force themselves on private landowners.
I don't see that in that at
all. I think you're reaching pretty deep there. I don't think this says that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I think if one of your neighbors did somehow contaminate their well, maybe their septic's thing, I think you'd want to know that.
So now that we'll be publicly announcing the quality of everybody's water?
Okay, who invited him? If you don't like it, I'll mark it out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, again...
Oh, heaven, come on!
So
strike
my,
it. He's the calico guy. Strike
your comments that you are concerned about government overreach.
Okay. So I'm concerned about underreach, actually, because what about everybody else in our area who has their own private wells, like people in Bob's neighborhood? Why are we singling out calico basins?
I think because even further back, it mentioned problems. Calico Basin has
Megan, is
well
this the best way to do this? This is the way you've been instructed to handle these? I mean, this is going to take 4 hours.
No, we just have two more.
No, we don't.
No, there's two more pages.
Turn the page. Turn the page.
Oh, my gosh.
Excuse me, I have a call.
Right, I mean, don't can we like or look over it and go over it next month or something? Does this have to be in tonight?
Well, coming to end of May, we'll be back here before the end of May. So, in Good Springs last night, there were a lot less highlighted things. You have a very broad area here, so I actually, in my mind, thought we should have a section to talk about calico basin issues, a section to talk about Blue Diamond issues, and a section to talk about South of Blue Diamond Road issues. That was not how it was presented to me. That's how it's not given to me. So, and as vague as the whole process is, my direction was even more vague than the whole process is. So, I think you're right.
Can we figure out a better way to do it?
So, how about I give you all homework for next month?
There we go.
And everybody review them and come back and we'll discuss. And maybe email stuff to me in the meantime. If you have thoughts, email it. Or send it in to Transform Clark County. If you want to send your own comments in, you don't need to come here and tell us your comments, unless you want to. But, yeah, you have a good point.
Okay, that sounds better. I was like going, oh, this is
I thought
this
we only had
to
go.
I know, and you are such a lively group.
That's a nice adjective.
So yes, thank you, Trent. So, yeah, I didn't expect quite as much discussion.
Well, and even just going, I mean, right, you can't get 10 people to agree the sky is blue, you know? So
I know.
No, it's not.
The way
what's been going on with the sky lately?
Okay, so homework. Review the policies. One thing I would like to urge you to do is if there's ones that aren't in here, which I know there are ones that aren't in here, some of the things that came up at Good Springs were peace and quiet, that we value peace and quiet, noise control, sensitivity to the environment, the animals in the environment, things like that, which seem to be really overlooked in this. So I would really encourage you, as much as some of these are kind of pithy, I think there are things that are missing. There's holes that I think are important. So. And if you think that each area, like I said, should be separate, let's suggest that too. Because we pointed out in just those few that there's different qualities in each one that we want to focus on. So maybe we'll structure it that way next month.
Is there an opportunity for federal partners to comment?
I don't know. I would think so.
One thing I was thinking about was on the goals, it would be nice to see a goal where we could enhance your relationship with your federal partners, because I see a lot in here that there's a lot of opportunity that lives if you protect the space in between where growth is going to happen and where the national conservation to be specific. But then you're also looking at increasing access for equestrian use, trail use, which is kind of mega.
And I think that's a really good point, because I don't know when these land use, I'll look up when these were written. It's obviously been a while. And I think Red Rock wasn't as overwhelmed as it is now. So it probably wasn't a focus of it then. So,
Megan, you know, you're saying that these are sort of existing policies, and I do see where this has a degree of parallel to what I understand the existing policies to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it also says on here draft 032321. So what is that? If these are existing policies that we've just redrafted, I don't understand.
Well, there's notes here. There's little footnotes. So it says adapted from existing goals 30 and 32 of the Northwest County Land Use Plan. So
there's
looks a little bit.
Those are the footnotes are at the bottom of each page.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out.
And again, I'm not the expert on this. It's kind of like, here, Megan, you have a planning background.
I represent a comprehensive plan. You're doing a great
job. Oh, well, thank you.
The other, a lot of meetings had a person from comp planning go out from the county and make it do it for all. So, doing pretty good.
Thank
not
you.
Having to
so,
you
yeah.
You said at one point that you were going to request that somebody from not just you planning, but even the commission that's looking into this, come across their rural communities.
Yes.
Because I'm going to feel really underrepresented when we put in a couple emails and say, I don't like your zone change. I feel like this is a little hinky. They're going to go, okay. And I feel like they may not really get the gravitas or the really ardor that we feel about this.
I cannot agree with you more. And I will tell you that when this email came out about how outreach was being done, I responded to both my commissioners and said, this is BS. On the record, that's what I said, this is BS, because I agree 100%. I will continue to fight to have them come out. You know, this is my life. This rural communities are my life. And I think your input is so valuable. So I won't stop fighting for it. I can't promise you that's gonna happen. I thought the consultants were going to come out and do this.
Right.
And again, I'm being recorded, so I have to be careful to keep my job.
Right.
But
and the consultants are not even local?
Yeah.
They're not.
Colorado.
And this is kind of a specialized undertaking. So I have to tell you, with as interesting as Title 30 is, it's probably good to have an outside source looking at things.
Unless when it's not.
right, but well,
they
again, there's a lot I can't say. So let me just say, I'm not going to give up telling them they need to come out. Particularly, this is important, but the Title 30 part is super important. And I really want everyone to be involved on that discussion, because that is going to have long-reaching effects for what you can do with your property, the nitty-gritty of what you can do with your property.
You know, one thing I want to comment, when I was looking at the Transform Clark County website and during the meeting looking at the various maps that were from there that were being referred to, when we look at, like, this northwest area, especially with reference to Blue Diamond and Calico Basin, these areas are barely represented on these maps, right? Like, in other words, if you look at them, if you didn't know what you were looking at to begin with, it would be absolutely meaningless. And I feel like to what I'm seeing, the maps are relating very closely to the way that these areas are being thought of. We're just kind of, we're like an aside. And,
okay, well.
And we're a blurry little patch on a piece
but
of
I,
paper.
But I would tell you, if you look at like the Spring Valley or Paradise map and you wanted to zoom in on a neighborhood, you wouldn't be able to do that either.
Well,
it's a size thing.
I will stipulate that all of the rural communities are being treated the same way.
And I agree. I agree. But I'm saying in town, if you tried to zoom in, the maps are not to that level where you can zoom in.
No, that's fair too. I've looked at those in town
right.
part of the map.
And that's
too.
The whole county, not just rural areas.
Oh,
so, and that's why I said, and I apologize, I had the map printed out, the big one that Paul and Kevin bring out, and I didn't bring it, and I apologize. Those are available on our website.
Right. Well, my point was that the maps, the very fact of the lack of detail. I know you're fair to point out that it's the same really in town. I guess I just take it more personally when I look at the rural communities.
And I do too.
You know?
And I would love to say, dang it, you people, but no, it's the maps at that scale are not, the detail of the maps isn't as important right now as the ideas.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is the concepts. So not the maps aren't important, but we're thinking concepts here more than individual parcels.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, and I think my point is, though, that these areas, and maybe with the taking, you know, acknowledging that it's a lot the same in town, the fact that edges are nearly unidentifiable, you don't really know what you're looking at, it makes it hard to discuss it.
Right, and remember, at this point, we're not at the parcel level. Well, we are at the parcel level, but we're not at the individual zoning per parcel level.
Uh-huh.
So those maps are available, just not as a part of this document right now.
All right, well, thank you, baby.
I think that's about as far as we can take this for tonight. Is that okay?
It is so fine with me. I got an hour drive home, so yes, right. It is so fine with me.
So the next thing on the agenda is public comment. Comments, anybody want to make any sort of comments?
Can we talk about the alleys at the next meeting, Megan? Can we put that on the agenda?
Because there are
people who block the alleys. So.
Yes. We can talk about the alleys that are owned by the county. The other alleys that are individual, I've talked to the DA. Those are individual private matters. And I understand and know a lot about the stuff that's going on. I've gotten very angry calls at home on Saturday morning. And I know, but those are private matters. I even went to the DA and said, hey, can I give them advice? No.
Well, so there would be just behind the big houses, right of way. So
right, that other alley, and I don't know much about that one. I know a lot about the other one. Right. So yeah, we could talk about that one. I'll bring some information about the one that the county has a say in.
Okay.
Any other comments?
I got one. A couple of months ago, I asked if the county commission could recognize Ken Walters and his family with a plaque or something for all those years as the fire chief.
I will talk to Chief Haydu about that.
Oh,
that
good.
Would be his purview.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And he did something for.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's been done.
Oh, okay.
They did do a memorial in the park.
I know in the park, but I mean, it seems like the BCC, if you ever watch a meeting, they're always saying, no, they're bringing a guest or something to recognize them. And I mean, you know, for Chief Maltry's service to here, I mean, at least to say, you know, to the family, you know, thank you or whatever, because I mean, that was a great service.
I will put that in Chief Haydu's decision.
Yes, okay, good.
And he may have had something done for that morning.
Good, okay, good, thank you.
Anything else?
No.
We are going to have another meeting May 26th, so please come and join, and we're adjourned.